Thanks for downloading this episode of the John Curley and Sherry Elicker Show. Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest. The best place to watch all your favorite sports. Featuring wall-to-wall viewing screens, six windows, and 30 kiosks. Be there at emeraldqueen.com.
West News.
I'm Curley, Sherry Elicker Show. You coming right along. Much appreciated. Here comes Sherry now. Yeah. Also loves dogs, not kids. All right. Hey-o, Sherry. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Just loving dogs, not kids.
By the way, I promised myself I would never do that. I watch podcasting. How you doing today? Good. How are you? Good. With snow in there? Can I start over again, Andrew? Can I just start all over again?
Yeah, that was a pretty rough start there.
That was rough. Yeah, let's try this again. Let's start all over again. Sorry. Sorry, everybody. We'll go back. Everybody, back to one. We'll all go back to one. Here we go. Here we go with the John Curley, Sherry Elicker Show, and you coming along with the ride. Much appreciated. Here comes Sherry now.
Here comes Sherry with the hot takes. Oh, she's got big hands, three nipples, and hot takes. She really loves donuts and cupcakes. Oh,
yeah. That's right, loves dogs, not kids. Let's go, Sherry, diving into the news.
Much better. Much better.
Ooh, like it never happened. All right. See how you can correct your mistakes? Come on, Boeing. Let's do the same thing. Man, you're all over Boeing. Another story of the Seattle Times. Boeing has new whistleblower alleging problems with the 777 and the 787. I did a little bit of research. I do that occasionally before the show. Here's what I'd seen from some experts on what has caused this problem. Because, how did all of this get started with all of these problems? So you go back to late 2018, and the Lion Air 710, they put a new system in there, an MCAS system, and Boeing didn't do a good job of explaining to the pilots how to correct for a malfunction. That plane crashes. People die. Then in early 2019, these guys get on the Ethiopian Airlines. So Lion Air first, then Ethiopian Airlines. Those guys were not properly trained on the MCAS system. And Boeing, even after, and then the FAA went in and looked at the investigation done by the Ethiopian folks and said, no. This is not on Boeing. This is on you guys. So that was pilot error. So you had the one crash, then you had the other one shortly thereafter. Then Boeing then grounds all the planes from March 2019 to November 2020, plus then COVID kicks in. They lose $60 billion. They lose 1,200 cancellations. Orders were canceled. Then when they start back up again, they have, come on, get going. You had one crew climbing over another crew to get this stuff going, get these planes together, get them out there. Go. Because when they shut everything down, they were just bleeding money. So they had to hurry up and get the stuff back out. And then that's when these problems started to develop. Plus, they also started losing some intellectual integrity with the people that were on the line. Either they retired, they left, they got laid off, and then you didn't have the same type of people. You don't need the inspectors to inspect if you have great people on the line building the plane, so there's not much for the inspectors to inspect. So that's kind of the backlog, and then the rush to get the planes out there, and then you have the problems. So now they've taken Calhoun is out. I think they kicked somebody else out of there. Now they got to find a replacement. So this is where Boeing goes next. So what's the story from the Times today, Sherry?
Well, there's this guy that has come forward now. He's a quality engineer, and he said his name is Sam Salfour. He said that 1,000 787s and 400 777s are really going to be a problem, because he says that they have some sort of fatigue and damage to this that could cause structural failure. And this is something that he's presented to the FAA. They sent a letter. The FAA say, we take this stuff very seriously. We're going to investigate. And he's going to speak at a hearing about Boeing, a Senate hearing about Boeing next week. So one of the things about the 787 is they had these, the joins of the fuselage. I'm going to pretend I know what I'm talking about here. Had these little gaps in them. Okay.
Right.
And so back in 2020, they took them off production and they went to fix these gaps. Well, this whistleblower says they didn't really fix them. What they did was they just pushed it together for the gaps to go away. It was more covered up than it was fixed.
I see. Okay. So another whistleblower comes forward, and this is good because it makes Boeing accountable. And the whistleblowers feel as if they can then explain. It's the old story of the Japanese Toyota assembly line, that anybody on that line was able to pull the red handle and stop the line if they started to see some problems coming from to the left of them, if the things are going left to right. So the same sort of thing, although these whistleblowers now are coming out at this point rather than somebody stopping the production along the way. A cultural shift for Boeing, a switch as they now are addressing these problems. I had seen an interview with the president of Airbus, which is owned by the government of France. And he said, you know, we don't relish the problems that Boeing is having, because for us, it just makes us that much more careful. So because they don't want to have the same problems. So he says every time they have a problem, it really affects us as well, because it slows us down and we start going, are we making the same mistakes? So in effect, good news. God forbid anybody dies from any of these problems, with the blowout of the door panel and things like that. But Airbus saying, no, we don't relish the mistakes. We see that as warning signs for us as well, harbingers of things to come if our engineers aren't watching everything. So that's the latest. And, you know, good for this whistleblower. We know the other whistleblower that came forward allegedly committed suicide there in his truck a couple of months ago, and the investigation is still going on there. So good for people, whistleblowers, to come forward, to be respected, and then the actions to take place. So he's testifying, I assume, before Congress or something like that?
Yeah, before the Senate. And in another Seattle Times article, they talk about the fact that 99% of all plane incidents have nothing to do with Boeing. It is more of an Alaska airline problem or a United airline problem. And they don't make the distinction between airlines and manufacturers. So when Boeing had this latest thing with the door flying off, there was a 15-fold increase of people saying, I'm not going if it's Boeing. So the NTSB says the number of So when people go
online, how do they prove that?
Well, when you go to Travelocity or Kayak or one of those sites, I guess when you go to buy a plane ticket, there is an option not to take a Boeing airplane.
Prove it. Okay. Thank you.
So so that they're saying that increased 15-fold. And so, but the NTSB says, look, Boeing's accidents or problems or whatever this year really haven't increased that much from previous years going over a decade. That some of these things, you know, it is somewhat confirmation bias, where every single thing that happens, we're hearing about it.
Right. Do you think about that when you go to book a flight?
No. I mean, not really.
No.
Like, what can you do? What are you going to not go somewhere because you're afraid of that? Well, be afraid when you get in your car, because that's 1,000 times more dangerous.
I would also question that data in that. So somebody says no. So they go online. There's the flight from Seattle to Chicago, or they went to Seattle to Denver or something. And Alaska Airlines comes up $321. It's a Boeing flight 737. They're like, no, I'm not going to take that. They click no, and then they want to see which ones are flown. What, you're going to get on an Airbus.
Airbus.
So you're going to get a different carrier other than Alaska, and you're going to fly somebody else, and you might pay more money. I'm just skeptical. I think maybe they put that in there, but they still might go ahead and buy the ticket. And I asked a flight attendant the other day. I fly almost 20,000 miles last year, and I'm going to do this year. That's the flight attendant. Did you people go, I'm not comfortable in this plane? She's, no. I do the little tappy tap on the door on the side of the plane as I do enter. Just one, two, little tap, tap.
On what?
I found that works because I've never been on a plane that's crashed. So just tap, tap.
Wait, which door?
Oh.
The door that's going to fly off? which
As you're entering, you step on. You just everybody should do it. Then we'll all fly safely.
Oh, okay, I got it. You mean when the steward or the flight attendant's standing there welcoming you? Hi, Mr. First Class. You do it right on.
By the way, I talked to a flight attendant the other day. They get paid for that now. Delta pays them. Used to be you don't get paid until the door gets shut. I think Delta changed it. I have Alaska changed it as well. It was ridiculous. Like you're standing there, you're picking up bags, you're helping people, you're doing all the stuff, but they're not paying. Like, that doesn't seem right. But I think Delta changed it. Maybe Alaska changed it as well, because there they are. They're standing there waiting. And then they, help you get going. They should be paid while they're lifting your bags and helping people find their seats and all the rest of the stuff. But yeah, just a little tip tip.
Okay.
We had this story the other day about this guy that's got this car, extremely loud, Hellcat, like 600 and some horsepower, whatever. He drives around. Joe can testify to this. Like at 2 o'clock in the morning, he's driving around, puts it up on Instagram. An unbelievably annoying guy who just relishes the fact that people are losing sleep because he likes to drive around in a car. I'm assuming the more horsepower, the smaller the genitalia. Is that still true? Can you check that up for me, Sherry or Joe?
Yeah, hold on for 1 second.
Googling.
All right.
Okay, thank you. No, you're done. Thank you. Yeah, it's true.
Okay.
All right, so tell me if it's too loud.
If you listen carefully between all of the roaring of the engine, you can hear just right underneath.
Sound like a Dracula. Lord.
Can you hear it? Could you hear it? It's very subliminal. Sorry.
I sensed it.
Hmm?
I sensed it.
Yeah. That guy should just... So what has happened? A judge says no more Hellcat driving?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That he got arrested for reckless driving because he was making so much noise. He was doing all this. And he said, hey, listen, you know what? I got 700,000 followers. I'm going to keep doing this. And a lot of the videos that he shows, he's going, he'll have a GoPro or something, but the camera will go down and show you the speedometer, which is like at 150 or 110 or something. So what they said was, the judge said, guess what? You are not allowed to drive that Hellcat, which is a Dodge Charger, for 1 year. He is allowed to drive. They didn't take that away from him, which is bizarre, but they said just not that car.
Oh, okay. So he's in this one now.
Yeah.
Or what he could do is just drive a regular car and then learn to do this. This is the sound, Mr. Car Sound. Making sounds of other famous fast cars.
My name is Greg Yavojanian, also known as Mr. Car Sounds on the internet, and I make really cool, accurate car sounds with my mouth. Starting off with the Lamborghini Huracan, this car comes with a 5.2 liter V10, and this is what it sounds like.
Okay, now he's... That is him doing.
That's all him. I cut out the real sounds just to make it shorter.
So it's like, wow, the car has to stop and take a breath. This is really him making sense.
Next up, we'll be doing a Subaru WRX STI. This car comes...
Okay, the Subaru Superwood X2i. Okay, sure, you try it. It's the Subaru X2i, whatever it is. Go ahead.
Okay.
I believe that's the West Atlantic sperm whale.
Okay, and now here's his interpretation.
Boxer 4 engine in an...
Oh, that wasn't fair. It's the Boxer 4 engine. You want to try it again? It's got the Boxer 4 engine.
No, let him do it.
All right.
Cooling header configuration, and this is what it sounds like.
Wish I know.
This
speed.
Wow. There you go. Huh?
I don't think mine was that far off, actually.
Okay.
Okay.
It's when you went into the lower register.
Wait, well, that happened to him, too. Like, it sort of sputtered at the end there.
It has a Formula One-derived racing V10 engine, and this is what it sounds like.
Okay, this is the something or other V10 race.
Porsche.
Go, Sherry. The Porsche. It's the Porsche. Sherry, you do the Porsche all the time. Go ahead.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Good. Thank you. Take a breath.
Okay.
Take a breath. Put your head between your legs. Get some blood flow back to your head. Here we go. He actually is pretty close on your part, so good for you. You are known as Mrs. Car Sound Guy, huh?
Yeah, does this guy get paid? Do people actually pay money to listen to this?
He has like 5-10 million views or something, yes.
YouTube pays him.
YouTube, Berber.
I know, but after a while, they all kind of sound alike.
Oh, please.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Yeah, right. Yeah, like, excuse me. Okay, there you go.
Okay.
So the Hellcat guy, just hire that guy to sit in your passenger seat. Head over to Bucky's Auto Service Centers.
Get that exhaust modified.
You know, I bought a Corvette because I didn't like the fact that Barack Obama said I had to save gas, so I intentionally was so dumb. I went out and bought one. Drove it over to this guy in Kirkland who, you know, makes them faster. Hey, can you get me 550 the rear wheels? Or is it? Yeah, I can do that. Puts Magnaflows on there. Boom, 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 boom. You couldn't hear anybody in the car. You know, it's horrible. He goes, you'll be back in 2 weeks. No, I won't. I'm good. Yeah, you will. Came back 2 weeks later. Can you make it faster? Can you give me 600? Oh, it's going to void the warranty. Going to put turbo in. I was like, do it. Do it. And then sure enough, ridiculous, ruined the car. It would go like every time we change gears, fishtailing all over the place, destroyed it.
Well,
that showed Obama, didn't it?
I was going to say, was that part of your retaliation against Obama?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Yes, it was. When I was
younger. Just to make it noisy?
Faster.
Oh, faster. That didn't work.
Oh, it was fast, but it was also not designed to do what the engine was doing. Because every time it changed gears, and the back wheels, people pull up next to me at a stoplight, those guys in those little Toyotas, those little Mazdas or whatever, they're like, you want to go? I'm like, yeah, let's go, let's go, let's go. There's $10 worth of gas.
If you've been thinking about surgery or even joint replacement, here's something to consider. Hi, it's Dave Ross. I've talked to over 100 patients of Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, and many of them have told me about life-changing results. Their words, after treatment at Seattle Swartz and regenerative medicine. These are people with severe osteoarthritis, even bone on bone, and they're back to hiking, jogging, playing tennis, skiing, golfing, walking up and downstairs, playing with the kids and the grandkids, and they're doing it without pain and without surgery. Dr. Wagner's 60-minute outpatient procedure uses your own stem cells, and because they're your own stem cells, they can help regenerate your own cartilage in your own joints. Dr. Wagner is a board-certified Seattle physician. He has over 30 years of experience, and he's performed over 20,000 stem cell procedures. And he's one of the few doing it the right way. So, listen to his patients, and remember, whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before you choose surgery, first see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD. Get the facts. Then get back in the game at drmarkwagnermd.com.
Mariners group outings are a great option for all kinds of events. School family nights, fundraisers, office parties, and more. It's as easy as choosing a game and gathering a group of 20 plus. Start planning your outing today at mariners.com/groups.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind. Until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go, the John Curley Show. All right, Teeny. Going around the station, Sherry, telling everybody to vote for her for Employee of the Week. That's not allowed, I don't think.
It's no big deal.
All right, well, whatever. Just give out the little handies that she got from a dry cleaner. Sean Curley, Sherry Elliger, show right to us at mynorthwest.com. Although, Andrew, do you have a comment on that?
Not really. I don't think so.
Okay. Or the Muckleshoot Resort text line at 1-888-973-5476. Let me give a quick backstory on this whole thing. So I'm doing an auction for St. Jude, big fan of St. Jude now, and it's on the 20th of April, and my friend Nayland, who's running the whole thing, said, hey, how about you throw an item in? I said, okay, how about dinner here at the barn for like five couples? He goes, well, how about make it more? I was like, okay, how about like 30 people? Then all of a sudden I thought, oh my gosh, gonna have all these people up here at the barn. That's nice. But then I'll feel this responsibility. I don't know if you ever feel this, Sherry, like if you're putting on a party, all the responsibility, like to have fun, is now on your shoulders. Like, all right, everybody over here for pin the tail on a donkey or spin the bottle. You can tell I haven't been to many parties in a while. So I thought, how can I take some of the pressure off of myself? So I thought, oh, I know. I could get tarot card readers or psychics or something. Joe went along with it. He goes, that'll work. Yeah. So then Joe put out a call, and then we got, I think the first couple or first psychics that wrote in, wonderful husband and wife team, Skip and Sharon, Line Gang. They are, psychicspectrum.com. I didn't know what to expect. Joe spoke to them briefly on the phone, had them on yesterday. This is sort of old school radio. Used to do this, Sherry. We get a psychic on, people would call up. Mm-hmm. You don't know. Like, they got to get close or whatever. We talked to them yesterday and they were lovely. And they sort of explained how they do it and what their life is like. They've been married now for 47 years. They're a really wonderful couple. We didn't ask for any readings. We didn't say, hey, what about us? They, at the end of the interview, they just said, Sherry, can I say something to you? And John, can I share something with you? That was freaky.
Mm-hmm.
Freaky.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And Joe said that people were texting in. Of course, you had the, that's nonsense. And other people were like, that's really cool. I want to hear more from them.
Well, and okay, we never got to acknowledge how right on the money they were.
Yeah. Like, here we go. Watch this.
And Sherry, there's one more thing I want to say about for you that I pick up on is that there's something about a tire and it's on the left side of a car. I believe it's your vehicle or the vehicle you drive in, but it's left side of the car. I would be very cautious, have them checked out, make sure the tread's good. I'm sure you've heard about tire separation.
I hadn't heard of it, but I thought I'd say yes.
I'm not saying the tire's going to separate, but it's not even close to it, but I can see a problem with it developing down the road.
Sherry, and coast to coast here, Andrew, here we go. So, Sherry, when you heard that, what did you think?
I was a little surprised because just last week, I had a nail removed from my back left tire. I don't know if it's okay or not because I have something called run flats, which mean you never really get a flat tire, but you're not supposed to repair them. If you get a hole in the tire, you're supposed to just replace it. Well, that's like a couple $1,000. I don't know. It's probably not that much, but I don't want to do it. So they just took the nail out. So I think I might get it checked out again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Crazy. All right. Music out, Andrew. Wow. So, right on that one. And then Sherry's not going to run over Andrew's dog. Is that how you're going to tie all this together? Let's go back to Andrew 1 second. Yes, I'm sorry.
John, for some reason, if you think about the lower left side of your mouth, there's a tooth there that is not doing well, or it's not going to be doing well, and I need you to keep an eye on that.
Music, please. Joe, what did I show you just 3 weeks ago?
An x-ray of your problem tooth on the left side of your mouth that you had to come in.
What else did I show you, Joe? It was on my desk. I picked it up. It was in my hand. And I said, look at this. And what was it?
Was it the tooth?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't remember that.
It was a temporary crown.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Placed on top
yes,
of the thing. Right. And it was on the left side of my face.
Psychic dance.
And we've none of these things have we mentioned on the air, by
no. Yeah. No. I mean, Sherry talks about a lot of dumb stuff, but she never mentioned the nail in the tire.
No. I try to stay away from minutia, personally.
It's my middle name is minutia. I can tell you, though, when they said that thing about your tire, and you're like, and then, because she didn't say anything on the air, and then later on, you told me, I had a nail in the tire, and then I didn't say anything either about the poof thing, but that is really, really weird. They did. They said told Andrew, keep an eye on, look for a brown dog with some hair or something, and Andrew was like, no, never, haven't seen a dog, right, Andrew?
Well, I was caught off guard. I was like, a brown dog. I've never owned or seen, I haven't seen a brown dog recently. I don't see dogs a lot. It was such a random thing.
Is that intentionally not to see them? Like, even when you see them, you deny
well,
that
I'm
you're
not,
seeing
I'm
them?
Not,
just, you're not.
I'm not going out of my way to avoid dogs or anything like that. I mean, my parents were looking for a dog, and but it wasn't brown,
oh.
So I don't know what.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Not wasn't that anything about a dog needing help though. So I don't know what a dog needs your help. I didn't quite know what that meant, or what okay. I was concerned.
Put some music underneath your voice. Would really help?
Yeah, sure.
You know, the last thing they said to me,
yes,
was, you need to talk to your mom.
Yes.
You have some things to, I think they said, smooth out or whatever. So my mom is not well. She's 90 years old and she is in hospice and it is a difficult time. And I thought, what do we have to smooth over? We've already had that talk, that sad, sentimental, I love you so much talk. I didn't think it was that. So I called her when I got off the air and there was no answer. And there was no answer, and there was no answer, and there was no answer. So I was very worried because she doesn't use a cell phone. I didn't know what to do. I called my sister, and then she said, call security. So I called security, and they went over there, and her phone had come unplugged from the wall. And she wouldn't have known that. The phone was dead. It was whatever. So maybe it was that.
I'll tell you, I can't explain it. Right? And people that are like, no, you've mentioned it one time, or you've mentioned this and that, and they're just listeners to the show or whatever. Okay, if you want to deny it, that's fine. But if you want to open yourself up to the fact that people can have some sort of ability, however it is, it's a gift, I think. So.
And if they were to cheat, all they have to do is go to our Facebook pages or go to Instagram, and they would have been even more specific. They would have said something about your barn or whatever that's out there for people to see. And they didn't. They picked very random things.
Yeah. Nothing on Joe, though.
Yeah, I was surprised at that because Joe seems
too.
Like he would be full of signals and
stuff,
things like that. Yeah.
Nate and I were thinking that maybe they saw negative things surrounding us and didn't want to, you know, bring down the party.
Okay. Well,
we should have him back on, by the way.
I already contacted them to see if I can schedule an appointment.
Oh, and
haven't heard back.
Maybe
not a good sign.
That tire.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it was psychicspectrum.com. So they're going to come out here to the barn for the big party they were going to have, and that just takes a lot of pressure off me having to tell stories about Sherry. All right. I got a million of them.
I know.
Okay.
If you've been thinking about surgery or even joint replacement, here's something to consider. Hi, it's Dave Ross. I've talked to over 100 patients of Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, and many of them have told me about life-changing results. Their words, after treatment at Seattle Swartz and regenerative medicine, these are people with severe osteoarthritis, even bone-on-bone, and they're back to hiking, jogging, playing tennis, skiing, golfing, walking up and downstairs, playing with the kids and the grandkids, and they're doing it without pain and without surgery.
Dr. Wagner's 60-minute outpatient procedure uses your own stem cells, and because they're your own stem cells, they can help regenerate your own cartilage in your own joints. Dr. Wagner is a board-certified Seattle physician. He has over 30 years of experience, and he's performed over 20,000 stem cell procedures. And he's one of the few doing it the right way. So, listen to his patients, and remember, whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before you choose surgery, first see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD. Get the facts, then get back in the game at drmarkwagnermd.com.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, you pilots and entrepreneurs, the jig is up, Sherry, right?
Oh, yeah. They are the ones to watch for. Uh-huh. You got one of them, you're married to one of them, look out.
Bartenders, nightclub staff, first responders, firefighters. Who's not on this list? Lawyers, tradesmen, sales, people who work at computers.
I think everybody here. You have a different list than I do.
Really?
This is the one that. Mine's different.
I brought this up in the meeting and I said, pilots are most likely to cheat. And John goes, cheat? At what? Landing?
Hey, whoa. Is that an imitation of me? Huh?
Heard it. Move on.
My imitation of you imitating your dad.
Oh, okay. All right.
Go ahead.
No. My list must be longer. Where'd you get your list? What's on your list?
I got mine from the Daily Mail, and it says right off the bat, 1 in 5 employees confesses to cheating with a colleague. 1 in 5. Mm. And they give a couple reasons why people do this. It's very exciting. There's boredom on the job. But the professions that they say are the most likely to cheat, number one, pilots, because they have an opportunity. They're away from home, far away. They can't really get caught. It's fine. And they'll mostly cheat with the flight crew. Doctors and nurses. Doctors and nurses, because a lot of times doctors have a godlike complex, and they think they're not really – they don't really have to follow any rules, that because people are so whatever, they can do whatever they want, nobody's going to stop them. Entrepreneurs, because they're risk takers to begin with. Bankers, because again, it's this kind of competitive, high stress job, and they're also very successful usually. And the fifth one is the one that is surprising.
Hmm.
It's not radio.
No.
Teachers.
Oh.
Yes, because they say that they're often blamed for things they're not responsible for. So if a kid fails, if a kid doesn't, meet some goals, it's the teacher that feels guilty about it, and therefore having the affair gives them validation.
Wow, that's a head snapper. Where chicken farmers or pig farmers? Are they on the list?
Not this one. Maybe on your list, because I think your list is the entire population.
No, I didn't. I'm going to confess here. It says less frequent, but still warranted mentions. And then I listed all those. So I'm sorry. I was reading the ones that are less likely. So that's why my list was so much longer than yours.
What's the least likely profession?
I don't know if they give the least likely profession. Costco greeter or Walmart greeter. Only because they're in their 90s. Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
Okay. So we don't have that list.